welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Morning. Boy, that got too quiet. The whirlwind from Ohio. That's a new one. Amen. I almost went to the big church day out, but they said you had to preach. I'd rather be with you anyways, because you're pretty. Amen. It's wonderful to be with you this morning. I'm telling you what. I spent the last 2 days in London, and with the cross, I carry a big cross of wood. It's about, I don't know, 11, 12 feet long. And on Friday, we took a great team from the Bible College. It was Missions Week, and we went up there, and I'll tell you what, those guys, they worked so hard. They did a good job. 11,000 people, I went counted all the tracks Friday night and found out 11,000 people took the tracks on Friday. And I tell you, those students, they just got out there. Some of them were great. I mean, they're just fireballs, and the other ones are, you know, they're a little bit more sheepish, but it's good to get them out there to stretch. Christianity is a stretch. If you don't know that yet, you need to become born again. Then you find out God wants to change you. Amen. Amen. And then we went out yesterday, and I know there was a lot of conflicting schedules, and we almost didn't have the crosswalk, and it was a real struggle for me whether it was going to happen or not, because I didn't know if I had a team. And we had a team. Hallelujah. One guy came down from Norwich. He said, they told me it was canceled. I said, well, I never did. He says, I'm coming. He says, I felt depressed when they said it was canceled. I said, well, you need to come down. And he came down from Norwich on a train. And he ended up bumping into the Archbishop of Canterbury. Oh, wow. Out on the streets. And he gave him a tract. And the Archbishop walked away reading it, stopped, turned around, came back and shook his hand and said, thank you. And they verified it. I said, is this really a true story? They said, yes, we watched it happen. I said, well, praise God. Isn't that great? And but I'm telling you, yesterday, I look back now and I can see the battle, the resistance that was in operation. I mean, Thursday night, I didn't sleep. You could get into the power of God, get moving into a direction of God, and then all hell just comes up against you, and you're just praying the whole night, walking, you know, just declaring the word of God, and then you start getting into the move of God, and things start to open up, things start to move. You've got to use your faith to move against the mountain. If you don't use your faith, you're not going to go through. And so I called my wife. She said, I didn't sleep Thursday night. I said, I really didn't either. Why? Because thousands upon thousands of souls we were going after. And the Bible says there's a strong man that you're going to have to come against him. Because souls are so important to God. Well, that's why you're here today. You got born again. Amen. Look how beautiful you are. But somebody's got to go out there and begin to put pressure on the lost and to love them, to look at them and to love them and to tell them Jesus is alive and he loves you. You know, I think I said that probably 5,000 times over the last 2 days. And I am not kidding about that. If you ask my team, everybody walking by me, I was saying, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you so much. He loves you. And you could feel the compassion of God. It was on a level I personally have not felt. It was like something reaching out and washing the people in love. And the conversations that we had, I mean, they were just amazing. Three Chinese girl ladies came over and... From China, Chinese girls from China. And There's Chinese girls from other places, you know. They're everywhere. And they came up and they had so many questions. And one of them, they all have Christian relatives. One had a Christian husband and the other one went to church but just hadn't become a Christian yet. And they were just all in that place of decision. So the one really started asking me questions. So I'm there talking to her. So the other two, they're not Christians yet. They took my tracts and went out and started handing out the tracts so I could talk to their friend. I said, Jesus. I said, it always should be like this. Towards the end of the day, I got a message to preach. I really got to watch myself. I get excited. Towards the end of the day, we came up on Westminster Bridge. And, you know, already, I already told the Lord in heaven, because I already know nobody's asked for it, but I would like Big Ben and Westminster Bridge in my backyard. Yeah. How many of you have asked for Big Ben in your yard in heaven? No, you probably haven't. It's such a part of my life. You know, 2001, we started walking with the cross in London. And we did it 5 days. Like to have killed me. That's a lot of work. But it changed my life. And we've been doing it. And now we have put about 600,000 tracts into central London, Westminster, from the steps of Parliament to the ends of the earth. Wonderful Muslim people. Muslims love me. They love me. I love them too. Because I have something that comes from heaven to touch them. And at the end, we came across Westminster Bridge and it just opened up. There was no hardness. No resistance. I almost think there was an angel just up above with that light of the glory just shining down on the bridge. And we're just giving out tracts like this. And you get dizzy. You're looking at thousands of people getting the tracts, walking off with the gospel. And I talked to so many people. My life was changed by a leaflet, a tract. One lady came up to my father, which is here today, and I'm so honored that he's with me, 77 years old, walking the streets of London. And the reason he does it is because he never said, I'm old. You're never too old. Unless you say you are. There was a man in the Bible named Caleb. At 84, he still had a sharp sword. Wonderful. She said, don't ever stop doing what you're doing. She said, my husband brought a tract, a leaflet home, and he gave his life to Christ, and now we're both Christians. So, I mean, yesterday, the tracks were going all over the world. Oh, and that's why the Lord put me in that place. That's my calling. Parliament, London, Westminster. And to stand there so the breath of God can go out to the ends of the earth. One man, he came up and said, he says, yes, I love Jesus too. I said, wonderful. I said, because Jesus loves you so much. He says, I'm from Saudi Arabia. And he was a Muslim guy. But you know what was happening? He was opening up. And I began to talk to him about Jesus who's alive and who loves you so much. And he was receiving it. Wow. You could feel it. You could feel it. So it's just a wonderful time. We were preaching on the bridge. I mean, preaching. We like to preach on the streets. Amen? Amen. We like it. That's what Britain's about. You know that?
That's right. Yeah.
How many are you Salvation Army in here? I just need a big drum and a trumpet. Make noise. Either they love you or they hate you. Doesn't matter, because in a few years we're all going to be in heaven and you're not going to be thinking about it. You're going to be going, I was right, I was right, I was right. Running around the fields. Wonderful 2 days. I tell you, I really love this nation. Really love London. We pray for that city. We pray for the nations. You know, this year, my wife and I, when we met, we were always, our relationship was built on evangelism. Really, our friendship was built, a friendship that was built on reaching the lost people, reaching out to lost people. And we always prayed together. We always realized the power of prayer. And I had grandparents that had that principle, and my parents had that principle, and we have that principle. So we're always, you know, we're praying together. But this year, something has happened in the realm of prayer where even at our church back home, we have 9 prayer meetings a week. And these little ladies of prayer who grew up, under powerful men of God. And when they start praying, and groaning and travail comes in the room, and you feel like you've been moved somewhere. And then my wife and I, we just said, we got to take this whole thing to a new level. At our house, you know, we don't have much time for movies and TV. At night, we will pray. And we will praise God first and just begin to praise the Lord and just declare praise. Singing to the Lord's wonderful. It's not the same as praise, though. Singing is wonderful. The Lord loves it. But then there's a declarative praise of who He is that becomes a weapon. It begins to bind and it begins to release the judgments of God to clear things out. We will begin to just to praise and praise and then go into worship and then we'll just pray. And usually that's it. You just fall asleep. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, because you do that, it allows me to walk into your bond, your covenant of marriage, and to do things in you that you can't do in the flesh. Marriage was God's idea. There are things about marriage that are a mystery that only He understands. And when a husband and a wife come together and begin to fellowship together and to praise Him, then He is able to walk in their midst and begin to do things in them because He loves marriage. I'm going to admonish you, husbands. You tell your wife, tonight, we're going to spend time praising the Lord. And you begin to develop that muscle and be faithful because your corporate agreement is much powerful than your just single praying. You need this. It's so important, so wonderful. The times where just the Lord just walks in and you're just stuck on the floor. Just so He can touch you and love you and lift you so that in that bond He can touch your children and minister to your children. Your children need you pressing into the glory. That when you come out of that experience, you're laying your hands upon them and you're imparting to them. You're not just reading the Bible to them. You have to impart the presence of God to them by touching them, praying for them, laying hands upon them. Amen? Don't just think it's going to happen. A lot of Christians have made that mistake. You fight for those kids because it's a battle out there. And you know that. And I got a word for you. Some of you are in here and your children are away. And I got a word for you. Jesus loves them so much, but He extra loves them because you love Him. And He's more right now working hard to get their attention because of what it means to you. Don't you give up. You fight. You fight. You tell the devil, you're not going to have my kids. You spit in his eye. As we say down south, you spit in his eye. You put one right in the middle of his eye and let him know you're not quitting. They're yours. They're not his. They have a blessing from God. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, let's look at the Word of God. I got to preach my message. I only have 5 minutes. Got a little bit of time. You have to forgive my voice a little bit. I've been preaching to lots of other people. A lot of people who need to hear about Jesus. Amen. And but I want to talk to you today about light. Light. Now, let's take a look at something. Turn real quick. I want you to see something, and then I'm going to lay a foundation with other scriptures. Is that all right? I want you to see something. I want you to grab something. I want your faith taking hold of something of God today that's going to get you through something. Turn to the book of Mark, chapter 4. And the Bible says this in verse 35. And Father, I love you so much. And Lord, I love these people. And I'm asking that the power of the Holy Spirit will come down in this place and lift them and help them and move them. The Father, that they would not leave this place the same. That they would hear something that would become a seed that would hatch off and grow and produce a harvest of health and life in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Bible says in Mark chapter 4 and 35, it says the same day when evening had come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. So Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he says, let us, meaning I'm going to be with you. Amen? Amen. Let us pass over. Great. Verse 5, and they came over unto the other side. Chapter 5, verse 1, excuse me. And they came over to the other side. So Jesus says, let us pass over to the other side. A few verses down, it says, and they did what? They passed over. Exactly what Jesus said. Is that right? Now, I want you to turn to the book of John. Chapter 6 and verse 21. You're going to like this. You're just going to enjoy this. This is wonderful. And when they willingly received him into the ship. Now, this is a different story, okay? They were out on the water again. This is another time. When they willingly received him into the ship, immediately the ship was at the land where they were going. What is the difference between these two stories? Well, let me tell you. In the first story, when Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side, he never told them there's going to be a huge storm. The boat is going to look like it's going to sink, and you're going to get very fearful about your life. He never said that. He simply said one thing. Let us pass over to the other side. And then in chapter 5 and verse 1, it was exactly what he said. Right? So they did it. They were just a little wet. But in the book of John, this is another story. This time Jesus is walking on the water. It is a storm. He's walking on the water. And when they received him into the ship, immediately, they were at the other side. What's the difference between the two stories? Not really any. Because they both ended up at the other side. And that's the goal. That's the will. Now, turn to 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light, watch this. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And I want to talk to you about walking in the light. In both stories, they were in the light. Amen? In the book of John, when Jesus stepped into that boat, it's an operation of light. They just moved. They were there. In the book of Mark, he said, let's go to the other side. They were in the light. But they had a storm, and they began to look at the things around them, and they began to fear. But in the end, they still ended up at the other side. I really believe, and I'm going to go through scriptures to lay this out, but I believe that the light of the glory is intensifying on the church. That it doesn't matter what you're going through, as you stay in faith, looking to him, you're going to get to the other side because you're walking in the light. When I remember not too long ago, I was in Bhutan in the Himalayas. I had to go from one mountain valley all the way to another place. It took about an hour and a half to drive. Done it many times. And I got into the car and my guide was with me. I just began to talk about God. I began to talk about Jesus. And as we talked, the time went by, but it felt like we were carried there. And he said to me, how did we get here so quickly? And I said, yeah, I feel the same. Because I know the road very well, and you're always tired. You know, have you ever been on mountain roads? We were moving in light, carried. There's times I've walked with a cross, and I walk through the crowds, and I don't feel the hardness in the people. I feel like I'm being carried in light. So we're commanded to walk in what? The light, as he is in the light. And what? When we do that, we have fellowship one with another, right? The importance of fellowship, the importance of loving each other. You know, this year, I humble myself under your mighty hand. I don't want anything in me that impedes the mighty hand of God. I humble my pride. I humble my self-justification where I have to be right. There are many times where people do things to me and I push it out. I refuse to hold it. And I say, God, I humble myself. I want your hand upon me. Jesus never went around self-justifying when people argued with him, when they treated him badly, when they rejected him. He walked in complete love. I want to be like you. And it's not so easy. sometimes my heart really wants to rise up and manifest something that's not. You ever get angry and you want to say something, you say, Lord, you're just going to have to hear it and I'll repent later. I've done that before. Done it a couple times, actually. Let me tell you, those disciples were no different. They were real men. There are times they wanted to call lightning down. Let's kill them all. And Jesus is like, oh, I got work on you boys a little more. You're not getting the concept. Everybody, John and his brother James, they're called sons of energy, sons of lightning. They liked the concept. Toast them. I think Jesus, he's like, give me a little more time. He does that with you. He does it with me. He's so wonderful, isn't he? He's always kind. Sometimes I just say, Lord, you're so kind to me. You shouldn't be, but you really are. And I just humble myself because you're very kind to me. You're very kind. But he's so strong. He is so strong. I guess if you create Saturn, you're probably pretty strong. Just by speaking. Now let's look at some scriptures about light. Amen? Light. Amen? Let's look at it. 1 John chapter 1, we should be there. And it says this, and verse 5, this is the message which we have heard of him. So where's the message coming from? Him. And we're going to declare it to you, and that's what I'm doing this morning. We've heard it, we're declaring it. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. So what is God? Light. The Bible says that God is love. So if God is love, then love is light. You know, when I saw that, I said, God, help me to walk in this love because I want to be in the light. Love is light. I'm telling you, yesterday especially, walking with that cross, it just felt like light and love. When you're tempted to walk out of love, and I'm talking to me, look, many fingers are pointing back. When you're tempted, ask yourself, do I really want darkness? Do I really want my words to have a covering of darkness so that Satan can use them? Let me tell you something. Remember the disciples? Peter, Jesus says, hey, ultimately, I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm going to die. So Peter loved Jesus. Do you believe that? He got out of the boat. Let me tell you, he loved Jesus. But he's like you and me. He's trying to learn love too. Amen? And he says, far be it, Lord. You're not going to do that. What did Jesus say? He said something that shocked them all. Judas Iscariot should have been listening a little closer. He said, Satan! Can you imagine being Peter and Jesus going, Satan? James and John went, I always knew there was something wrong with him. They said, Mom, go tell Jesus we need to be next to him. Peter out. That didn't happen. Now, Peter loved Jesus but he was operating in phileo love. Now, phileo love is very important because when you have a vision, phileo love is what's needed for the team to move forward. It's God created it, but it can be hijacked by the devil. When Mary came saying, yeah, Jesus, you need to come and be with us, and she was trying to pull him away, it was all phileo love. It was hijacked. But agape love is the love of God, and it is light. And so love looked at Peter, and he adjusted him, immediately. Removed the devil. Now watch this. Remember when Jesus said, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter said, Jesus, I phileo you. Jesus said, do you love me with the love of God? And Peter said, I love you with brotherly love. He said, feed my sheep. But Jesus wasn't done working on him, and he's not done working on you. So he says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I phileo you. He said, well, feed my sheep. Then Jesus does something amazing, and it made Peter upset. He said, Peter, do you phileo me? Do you love me in brotherly love? And Peter knew exactly what he did. He dropped the level of love. And he got upset. He said, Lord, you know I phileo you. But when Peter writes his book, he admonishes the church, you have to have this phileo love, but make sure you have fervent agape. Because agape is light. He learned. I'm learning. Are you learning? You have to judge yourself. What am I walking in? When I began to speak words, what am I speaking? Is what I'm speaking going to be hijacked by something? You know, hijacked, you know that word? Light. God is light. In him, no darkness at all. God is love. So love is light. 1 Timothy 6. Now that the boat's going to get moving quicker here. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 16. Somebody say amen. Amen. There you go. Just so people listening to the tape know that there were people. Who only has immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Turn to the book of Job 26. Job had a little touch of heaven one day, and he said something very powerful. Watch this. Job 26 and verse 9. He holds back the face of his throne. He spreads his cloud upon it. So Paul is writing to Timothy, and Paul has a revelation. He starts talking that God dwells in light, of which no man can approach it. Now that's power. Oh, but the Bible says that we're to come boldly into the throne of grace. That's right. It commands you to do that. But when it talks about the fullness of the light of his face, you cannot approach it. So Job says he spreads a cloud over the throne. Now, the thing about the cloud is that cloud is not a cloud like we know. Let's take a look at what that cloud is. Ready? Walking in the light as he is in the light. Turn to the book of Matthew. Look at this, Matthew. Chapter 17, after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, John, his brother, brings him up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. his face did shine as the sun. Now, today I looked out my window. Did you look at the sun up there? It's rare, but we love it. It does exist in Britain. I looked up at the sun. Oh, didn't it feel good? The only thing is, your eyes can't look at it. So you, what do? You cover your eyes, but you stay in it. You close your eyes and you let the rays just wash over you. And it feels so good. It makes England happy. Right? Why did the British conquer the world? They were looking for sunshine. It was a sunny day in England, and all the British people were like, this is so wonderful. There must be other places that have more of this. So his face, what? Can you imagine looking at Jesus' face and it's like the sun? Oh. Wow. What's it going to be like when we look at Jesus, when we get to be with him, and then he wants to hug you? And you're like, and he's like, amen? Light. Now watch this. And his face shined as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. There was so much glory and light coming out of him that the very fabric lost its color, and it just shined. There appeared Moses, Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said, Jesus, it's good that we're here. If you're willing, we're willing to set up a business, make some shrines, sell some tickets. I don't know what he's talking about, you know. He's like, we'll make some tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, right? He said, Peter, your calling is not business manager. And if you really look at it, Jesus ignores him and so does God, the Father. They totally ignore him. He probably felt stupid later. James and John are going, why were you talking? When we were kids, you did the same thing. You were always talking. And watch what happens. While he spake, behold, a bright cloud. Now, the word bright in Greek actually means light. It was a cloud of light. Now, try to think about that. A cloud of light came down upon them and overshadowed them, and a voice out of the cloud. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. And when they heard it, they fell on their face. He covers the throne in a cloud of light to shield his face. When you look at someone, and maybe you say, I think it's John over there, but when they turn around, you see their fullness of who they are, don't you? Oh, it's not John. Everything that God is in his face, and it's light, and it's love. And he clothes himself in a cloud of light because no man can approach that. But everything that's in his face is in that cloud of light. It's the Shekinah glory of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is there and he's just shining. He's just letting loose a little bit. He's letting the disciples, you need to see this. You know, he could have gone up on the mountain alone and just had that experience, but he said, I better take Peter, James, and John. I'm still working on those guys. He begins to shine light. And they see him. And then later, he says, guys, absolutely don't talk about this until I'm risen from the dead. The Bible says in the book of Mark that when they came down from the mountain, he came and the crowds came and they looked at him and they were stunned. They could see that light. Look at the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts 9. Verse 1, Saul breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, he went to the high priest, desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. Light isn't just something pretty. It's a substance. It can be felt. It is a power. It is a force. And Jesus said, you know, I really need to deal with this guy. Because he has a call on his life, but he's killing too many of my people. What does Jesus do? He just gives him a taste of who he is. Light. When Paul talks about this later, he says, it not only knocked me down, but all the guys that were with me, it knocked them down as well. Turn to Matthew. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, the church of this time has to be a church of light. Not just light, but of the power and the substance of Jesus that can be felt. That people look at you. I had a lady, I checked in at BA one time over in Heathrow. She looked at me and said, you're famous, aren't you? Are you on television? I said, no. She goes, who are you? And then I realized I've been praying. And I've been talking with God. And she was seeing light. And she thought that maybe I was famous. But I was talking with someone famous. Someone very famous. Amen? Sometimes you're so thinking about you, you don't realize what people see. They're looking at you. And when you look at them, they go like this. Because they see light. They see love. Matthew, the Bible says in chapter 28, it says in verse 2, behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. He came and rolled back the stone of the door, and then he sat on it. His countenance was like lightning. Matthew 18, the Bible says, it says those angels are always beholding the face. And they behold the face of God, and they come down, and the glory, the assignments, the purposes of God, they're carrying them. That angel came down. It probably was right before the sun was up. And it was like lightning. And you and I are in that light. That light is in us. And we're commanded to be walking in that light. As he is in the light. I'm telling you, in the days we're living in, there's going to be more and more translation of Christian workers to get to places where they need to be. How does it happen? Because we're in light. When Philip went down and preached in the wilderness, he baptized an Ethiopian. When the guy came out of the water, he was gone. How does that happen? If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we're in light. When Moses went up on the mountain and the glory was so strong, he says, I got a prayer, I got a request. And the Lord said, what is it? He said, I want to see. And the Lord knew what was going to, he knew what he's going to say. The Lord's going, come on, say it. I want to see your face. Can't see my face. I'll melt you. And I still have work for you to do. So what does he say? He says, now watch this. Such beautiful word. He says, there's a place by me. He wants you so close to him. Are you glad? He didn't say, there's a place far over there. He didn't say that. You know, he not only quickened us, but raised us, but he seated us. Where? In him. We're in him. We're in light. We're in love. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. And the blood of Jesus is working. So he goes right next to me. He said, there's a place. He said, I'm going to cover you with my hand. You know what the hand was? That cloud of light. That Shekinah glory. I'm going to cover you. And then when I get just a little bit, I'm going to let you just see a little bit of my shoulder. And then the Lord came and he began to declare the name. When Moses walked down the mountain, the people went, he was so saturated in light. Mrs. Moses said, Moses, I can't sleep at night. Too light in this tent. You have to go sleep on the couch. I haven't slept for a week. Let me tell you, that's not the glory you're in. You're in the glory of Christ, not in the light of Moses' face. You're in him. You're in him. Why don't you stand up to your feet? I'm out of time. I'm out of time. Oh, man, I had 55 more points. We have to be people of light. We are people of light. Jesus said it, didn't he? He said, you are the light of the world. He says, a city on a hill can't be hid. Absolutely, you can't. You're felt. I'd like for you to just raise your hands. Let me pray for you. There's a world that needs Jesus, guys. You can't hide this light. Don't hide this light. Don't put a bushel, a covering over that light. I believe that that light is burning things right now that you've been covering it with. I just believe right now that the Lord is showing you things. I know this. I know this. Things that have been impeding the light. Hindering the light. Maybe your mouth. The things you're speaking. The words you're speaking. It's hindering light. Words of love. Words of light. Speaking into darkness. changing the atmosphere, loving and lifting. One thing about my marriage, we're even more graceful with our words than we've ever been. And we've always been great, but it's on a different level because our words corporately are always praising the Lord. So when we bring that to each other, it's always more peace. If you're continually fighting with each other, it's because something's not established in your soul. And you can't blame the other person. You must change something in you to let light out. Now, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I pray that marriages today, that something will happen in marriages. I know, Lord, I know how much you love these marriages. Father, there's something even from a generation, the way they acted in other generations. Lord, that would just be removed today. That Father, that person would see that's not needed anymore, and it's dissolved in light. Whew. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Basha kondistiada. If you're single in here, that's not a prayer for you, is it? But it is a prayer for you. Make sure you find the right person. Love them and walk in light and have a home of light. A home of light. Father, I've done the best I can right now, and we're out of time, sir. But I want to thank you for these precious friends. I want to thank you for this precious nation of people that you love so much, and the hand of God is faithful to them. Father, heal marriages and lift people. Yes. Father, in areas right now where they know that they've not been walking in light, we believe right now, pray this with me. Heavenly Father, forgive me where I've missed it. I repent. I change. And I walk in light. And I look to Jesus. And I walk in his light. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.